Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of years ago, Potch and I received an early morning phone call from our eldest daughter, Trinity, that there was a crazy low price to fly from Austin to New Zealand. So she and Davina were going to jump on that before it disappeared. Potch immediately said, "Well, I want to go." Followed up by, "Why don't we all go?" Well, that sounded great, because when else are you going to be able to fly from Austin to Auckland for $400? The only problem was that the trip was at the end of May, right when Micah was supposed to be at her training for being a camp counselor for the summer. And Pa said, "Well, the four of us could go." And she was right. The four of us could have gone. We had every right in the world to do that. But I was concerned how bad and how sad Micah would be being left out of this amazing family trip. And so I told Potch that she and the two older girls should go. That should be a girls' trip for them. And I would just stay home with Micah so that she wouldn't feel left out. And so that's what we did. Would I have loved to have gone to New Zealand with my wife and my two eldest daughters? Yeah, absolutely. It would have been a great adventure, worldwide adventure. But I was more concerned about the hurt it would cause to Micah than the fun it would bring to me. If you can appreciate this story, then you will have a better understanding of our text today. In a nutshell, without going into all the specifics of the text, which we have done on previous occasions when we studied this text, the gist of Paul's lesson can be summed up in this one sentence that he wrote. "Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak." You see, just because you have the right to do a certain something does not mean that particular something is the right thing to do. As in our text today, sure, you have the right to eat meat that has been sacrificed to an idol, because we all know that an idol in reality is nothing. There is no God but one. That idol is not a God. But if doing so, if eating that meat sacrificed to an idol makes others think that somehow you are paying homage to that idol, and that then emboldens them to do the same, then you had better not eat that meat, lest you cause that person to honor that idol and to dishonor God. Or, to put it another way, don't do anything that will weaken the faith of your fellow believer or do harm to your witness for Jesus. If something you do causes someone else to sin, even though you have every right to do it, don't do it for the sake of your brother's walk with the Lord. If you're out to dinner with someone, and that someone happens to be an alcoholic, don't order a drink, even though you have every right in the world to do so. If you have a friend who struggles with lust, don't invite him to come with you to watch the Super Bowl over at Hooters, even though you are within your rights to do that. If your sister's a diabetic, but still has a weakness for sweets, don't invite her to come with you to the church's bake sale, even though you are free to do so. This really isn't rocket science. It's common courtesy and thoughtfulness. Think about your actions and how those actions are going to affect others. And if something that you're about to do is going to be a detriment to someone else's walk with the Lord, don't do it. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. Jesus Christ gave his life on a cross, and he rose from a grave to set us free from the chains of sin that bind and bound us. We are saved from the penalty of our sin because of what he did for us. How can we then, in good conscience and in Christian love, do anything that might take those chains and put them back on those people? People for whom Christ suffered and died. People who Jesus wants to save. Paul said that when we sin against our brothers in this way, we also sin against Christ himself. And for that reason, if for no other reason, we need to watch and curb and examine our behavior, lest we lead one for whom Christ died away from the very salvation which his death and resurrection are meant to give. You and I are forgiven of our sins, and we are marked for salvation, because Christ Jesus cared more about saving us than about exercising his freedoms. He didn't have to save us. He was under no obligation to be our substitute. But born out of his great love for us, he willingly walked away from his throne in heaven to be our sacrifice on this earth. And now, in our faith response to him for what he's done for us, born out of our love for him, he has called us to care more about saving others than about exercising our freedoms also. If what we do, even though we have the right and the freedom to do it, causes our brother to sin, then may we never do those things again, that we not cause our brother to fall. In the name of Jesus, who died that we might live, amen.